other citizen convicted of this same conduct. The prosecution has been and will continue to be committed to this principle.
What he's talking about is he says, look, no one is above the law, but no one should be punished more severely just because their name is Biden. Mm-hmm. He didn't go on to say, or because their name is Trump. Maybe that was implied. The question does still hanging out there. Is this equity, the way these two political families were treated by the justice system? But it is guilty on all counts for Hunter Biden. What do we think of this verdict? What are the possible sentences? And how does it impact his tax case that he didn't pay taxes on $1.4 million in income over 3 years? That's looming coming this fall. Who better to weigh in on that than our good friend Matthew Schneider, leader of White Collar Defense at Honigman Law, and also the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, Guy. Thank you for having me back.
So under the sentencing guidelines, we know he could get as much as 25, but he's a first-time offender. As you look at this, according to the New York Times, that when someone has been facing similar charges, that the average they get is between 15 and 21 months imprisonment for offenses for unlawful receipt, possession, and transportation of firearms. Can we expect some jail time here?
That sounds reasonable. That sounds like about what that sentence might be. And sometimes these are probationary sentences. And keep in mind, it could have been that way. It could have been that way if Hunter Biden had accepted what was offered to him, which was a diversion case where this case would have essentially gone away. But he chose not to do that, which is his constitutional right, chose to go to trial. But then he should expect that he's going to have to live with those consequences. And the consequences very well could be an amount of prison time. And of course, you correctly foreshadowed, this is not his only case. He's got another case coming up in the future. And so we'll see how that works out. But that case could be impacted as well by this conviction here.
Matthew, were you expecting this guilty verdict? Was the evidence that strong?
Yes, it was. In fact, the evidence came from Hunter Biden himself. He indicated about the fact that he had been using drugs. He was a drug addict at around this same time. And it was really a timing question for the jury. The defense was trying to say that he had been a drug addict. He had been using, but it was not in the same time frame. The problem for the defense was his own statements, Hunter Biden's statements in his book, added up to be about right around the same time. He had just been involved in a drug transaction a day before this. So the jury saw that. They didn't believe the defense, and therefore they returned the conviction. And that did make sense to me if you actually looked at the evidence.
Matthew, juror number 10 came out and said politics was not part of this. President Biden's name wasn't brought up just once during the trial. So do you believe that politics wasn't a part of that in that room when they were making their decisions?
I do, because I've spoken to a lot of juries after the either a conviction or acquittal, going in and speaking with them and what they're focused on. And, you know, I've tried cases that are in the public eye, and the jurors really do a good job of tuning that out. The prosecution even said this in his closing argument. He said, you know, people sitting in the gallery, that's not evidence. That's not what you're to consider. Just consider the facts in front of you. It appears to be that is how it worked out in this case. And they were not swayed by the fact that Jill Biden was in the courtroom. They looked at what happened here, and they thought that he was guilty.
So maybe politics didn't play a role in the actual trial and conviction. But what about in the charging? I mean, for those that need a refresher, remember there was this plea agreement. It certainly looked like a sweetheart deal. And when a judge raised an objection, all of a sudden, well, and it was Katie bar the door, we're going to go ahead and charge him. Would he have been charged on this standalone charge were his name not Biden? And does this in some ways balance the scales for what was seen as a political prosecution of Donald Trump?
Yes, I believe he would have been charged. And the fact that the judge had concerns with that plea bargain, that was not the only issue going on. If you look at the transcript of what actually took place in court, the defense said that they wanted a complete pass for Hunter Biden. They didn't want him to be charged with tax violations, Foreign Agent Registration Act violations. They wanted everything to be immune. And the prosecution correctly said, we're not doing that. We're only focusing on these charges. So the deal fell apart. not because the judge, but because both parties agreed they didn't reach the deal. So,
and because of defensive overreach, perhaps.
Yes. I mean, they could have taken what was in front of them, and now because they didn't, now they've got not only this conviction, but they're looking at potentially another conviction in this tax case. The charges, the evidence in the tax case is even stronger than the evidence that we just saw in this gun case. So it's definitely not looking good for Hunter Biden in that capacity.
Well, and if he's sentenced in that case, he's sentenced as not as a first-time offender.
Prior conviction.
Right. He's got a prior conviction. How much does that change his exposure?
Oh, it certainly does, because when you do sentencing, there's two parts. You look at their prior criminal history, and you look at what they did. In that tax charge, he will have an elevated criminal history because of this recent conviction, and that will be taken into account. And in the judge, if he's convicted in the second case at sentencing, the judge will look at that and make his sentence higher.
Matthew, what about the appeals? And you know, they were talking about yesterday the appeals, Second Amendment, and that the Supreme Court may weigh in on this as well.
Well, setting aside the fact of Hunter Biden being a champion of the Second Amendment, which I think is quite ironic.
It could make his dad a little uncomfortable.
Right, exactly, exactly. So right now there is a U.S. Supreme Court case, and they're trying to determine whether or not a person who's been previously convicted of domestic violence, whether or not you can charge them for having a gun, whether or not that's a correct felony. Now, that kind of spills over here because Hunter Biden could say, look, I was a drug addict, but I still have a constitutional right to possess a gun. So he's got an argument in front of the Supreme Court. The reason why that's not going to be very helpful is because this is not the only thing he was convicted of. Remember, he was convicted of lying on a gun form, and there is no way the U.S. Supreme Court is ever going to say it's okay to lie on a government form. You get a pass for that. That's not going to happen. So therefore, even if he won in the U.S. Supreme Court on one of those counts, he's got these two other counts for lying, and it's very unlikely that he would be able to prevail in overturning those convictions on that grounds.
Matthew, the discussion is about faith in the legal system, and a jury of their peers convicted both people. Do you see the legal system as working in these cases?
I do, because both sides have an appeal. You know, Donald Trump, he has evidence that he has issues that he can raise on appeal that are pretty good. He can talk about some of the evidence that came in that case, and maybe it shouldn't have come up. Well, he can go through the normal course of the system and argue that out. Maybe he'll be successful, maybe not. But both of these parties get that right. Whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they are treated the same way in that system, and we expect that they're both going to seek appeals and follow that system in the normal course.
Very quickly, Matthew, before we let you go, if you were counseling Hunter Biden, would you counsel him to take a plea deal on the tax charges?
Probably. We don't know all the evidence, but it's not looking very good, and it looks very strong against him, again, because of his own words. So the chances of him being convicted in that case are pretty strong. I would counsel him heavily in thinking about the options for pleading guilty.
So many good perspectives there, Matthew. And to Jamie's point, let's hope that this restores some faith in our judicial system, because Lord knows it needs it.
It certainly does. Let's hope this is another step that we can start making things a little bit better in the country for people who think that they have a little bit more confidence in the justice system.
Matthew Schneider, thank you very much.
Coming up,
it is a new partnership aimed at preventing high crime. The U.S. Attorney, Matthew Schneider's successor, Don Eisen, next on JR Morning.